Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up we're learning what it means for the believer that the Bible says they are a child of God. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 14 for a message called The Sons of God as we go back to basics.
We have a special place in the heart of God. God loves you in a special way, similar to the way that you would love your children or the way your parents would have loved you. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. John marvels at that. Behold, what manner of love. That we're God's children. That he's actually brought us into his family. See, this is one of the amazing implications of what it is. What's happened with us. That we've become the special objects of God's love. So know this today. God loves you. He loves you personally. And he's interested in you personally. And he's attentive to you personally. And he's committed to taking care of you personally. And you can, as Paul says here, you can cry out. You can cry out either in a cry of rejoicing. Oh, Abba, Father. Just the rejoicing. You could cry out in desperation. Abba, Father, God help me. And you know, because you're the special object of his love, that is exactly what he's going to do. So, special objects of God's love. Secondly, because we are God's children, we can be assured that God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for our lives. Father's plan for their children with the child's interest and future in mind. As you're raising your children, what are you doing as you raised your children? What are you doing? Of course, you're preparing them for the future. You have something in mind. You have a direction that you would like to see them go. I think ultimately as believers, we want to see them follow the Lord, right? A lot of the other stuff doesn't necessarily matter. But what we do for our children is we plan with their future in mind. God does the same thing. God orders our steps in light of eternity. And we're told in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is God's heart for us. He has plans. I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans. You know, sometimes we're going through things in life where it just doesn't seem like that's the case, does it? Like we talked about previously, how could any good thing come out of this mess that we see in front of us right now, or that we find ourselves living in the midst of? How could there be? How could this be part of a good plan? Well, we don't know at the time how it could be. We don't understand how these things could be part of a good plan. But it's by faith that we simply say, you know, Lord, I trust you. And you said in your word that your thoughts toward me are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give a future and a hope. So we have that confidence. We rest in that. By faith, we stand and we say, Lord, I believe that your plans are good. And they are good. And God promised that he's working out a plan. I never tire of saying to people, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Some people think, oh, that's so trite, you know, come on. You got to get deeper. You got to lay some hard theology on people. Well, look, it's this simple. God loves you and has a plan for your life. And as you connect with him through Christ, he begins to work that plan out. And it's a good plan. So, thirdly, because we're the children of God, we can expect that God is training us up. He's training us up. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and corrects every child he receives, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. So as the children of God, God is committed to growing us up and bringing us into maturity. And part of that process is a disciplinary process. The Lord disciplines us because he loves us. And Hebrews tells us that he does this for every child he receives. So every one of us are going to go through a training process. Every one of us are going to go through a disciplining process. Any good parent has discipline as part of their child rearing. If you are one of those people who said, well, I don't believe in discipline. You know what the Bible says? You don't love your child. I do too. I just don't believe in discipline. Well, God says discipline is part of love. And if there's a lack of discipline, there's a lack of love. And if there's no discipline in our lives, and we are claiming to be God's people, then we have to question whether or not we are God's people, because the Lord, he disciplines every child he receives, and he corrects them. And if we are without discipline, it says, then we are illegitimate and not really children. You see, if you can just go out and just, you know, sin freely and just live according to the dictates of your own heart and disregard the things of God, if you can go out and do that without God taking disciplinary action, you know what it says? It says you're not really a child of God, because God, out of his love, and because he's a faithful and a wise parent, he disciplines us. He trains us. He corrects us when need be, so that he might perfect his work in us. And as we're told there in Hebrews, what he's aiming at ultimately is that we might be partakers of his holiness. God is wanting us to share more and more in his nature and the particular aspect of his nature, which is holiness. And so there's training. But there's also provision. That's implied in us being God's children. God provides for his children. Jesus said it so beautifully. He said, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. The Bible says food and shelter. Those are the things. God is committed to that. And so as God's children, we can trust that he is going to provide for us, and so we don't have to live in worry. We don't have to live anxious lives over those kinds of things. But isn't it true that we do that quite often? Why do we do that? Well, we do it because we're not understanding the relationship. We're not understanding that God is our Father and he's committed to our provision. You know, as my children were growing up, I don't ever remember an occasion where my kids came to me with the kinds of concerns, you know, like, Dad, do you think we're going to be able to make our house payment this month? My children never asked me that question. Dad, I've been thinking, I wonder, are we going to have enough food to eat next week? Never heard a question like that. Why? Because these kids just knew that's not their problem. That's not their concern. That's what Dad takes care of. That's what Mom takes care of. And that's what we're talking about here. That's how God wants us living. I don't have to be stressed out about this. I don't have to be filled with anxiety about these things. This is God's responsibility. I mentioned a couple of times about my children recently moving to New York, and they've gone, and they're starting to settle in, and they're realizing that they're living in the most expensive portion of real estate in the world. And, the income they were expecting, they're not actually getting what they expected, and they're finding that the taxes in the city are astronomical, things that they didn't know before they went. And so I talked to my son-in-law yesterday, and, you know, he was telling me this, and I said, well, listen, look, you know, you're in a lease, you're there, you got a year, and I understand what you're saying about the need. He wasn't asking me for help. He was just telling me what was going on. And I said to him, I said, look, you're in a great position to see the provision of God. God's going to take care of you guys. And you just need to remember, how did you get there? You got there because you believed that the Lord directed you to go there. Walk back through those same steps. And as you go through those steps, then, you know, as you come to the conclusion, yes, God called us here, then have the confidence that he's going to provide for you. But, you know, the difficulty is a lot of times we don't see how it's going to happen, right? Okay, yeah, okay, I believe it. God's going to provide. I get it. And then we stop and think, but how is he going to do it? That's where we get stumbled. I don't know, but he will. He does. He's God. He can do anything. He's got a billion and one ways to be able to do this kind of stuff. And, you know, if you just talk to enough people and hear people's stories, it's amazing at the things that you find that God does, the way he provides. But you see, this is part of the blessing of being God's children. But then there's also the blessing of protection. As the children of God, we have a divine protection about our lives. The Bible refers to God as a refuge, as a fortress, as a strong tower, as a shield. All of those things are talking about God in his protective commitment to us. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear the Lord, Psalm 34, verse 7 says. So we have this divine protection about our lives. Now, that doesn't mean we're never going to get sick and die. It doesn't mean we're never going to get killed in a car crash. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is this. Until it's time for us to go, God's got a protective hedge about us. And nothing can get in and touch us except it has to first go through the filter of our Father's love. And when things come our way that seem like at times, well, wait, Lord, I thought I was protected. What kind of protection is this? Well, we have to realize that, well, you know, God allows things at certain times that don't seem like they're consistent with his protection. But in the bigger picture, they will have proven to just have been part of what God was doing to form that character in us for eternity. But what we can do is we can have this confidence that the Lord is with us. You know, I've been a lot of places in the world, and I've done a lot of things, and I've done some crazy things that were dangerous things that people said, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And you don't want to be reckless and just say, well, hey, you know, I'm immune. I can jump off this building. Nothing's going to happen. God's going to protect me. No, that's foolishness. That's tempting the Lord. We don't do stuff like that. But when you're feeling like God's saying, hey, I want you to go. I want you to do this. Don't worry about, you know, the possible dangers of this. Just trust me. And then you go and you do it. And you find that protection is there because that is another aspect of God's care for us as our Father. And so in a sense, we are, as long as we're in the will of God, in a general sense, we are indestructible. Until we come to that moment when the Lord chooses to take us out of here. There's also access. The sixth thing, there's access. God as our Father is always ready to receive us and listen to us. Boy, isn't this a wonderful thing to think of? Now, there are lots of authority figures that we have connections to throughout life. And authority figures, you know, people who have power, people who have authority. But have you noticed that, generally speaking, those people are hard to connect with? You know, it's you can't get an audience with them. You can't come to them, you know, with your concern, usually. And in rare cases, when you're even able to do that, you still have the problem of their limitations. The most powerful person on the planet still has limitations. If you had access to the most powerful person in the world today, you know, there are some things that I'm sure they could sort out for you, but there are other things that would just be beyond them. They can't do anything about it. What am I? They might say, God. I can't do what God can do. So here's the wonderful news. As God's children, we can go straight to the top. We can bypass all of those, human authority figures in the sense of when we need assistance, when we need help, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I can go straight to God. You can go straight to God. We don't have to worry about the inability to access people of power because we have access to the ultimate power in the universe. That one who's sitting on the throne of the universe is your Father. It's my Father. Do we get that? Do we understand that? That's how God wants us to understand things. And so we have this unbelievable access to our Father, who has all power and all authority. Now, two more things, and then we'll wrap things up. Because we are the children of God, we can expect similarities. On a natural level, we see similarities between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, fathers and daughters, mothers and sons. We see that. And so, likewise, God's likeness will be there in his children. We all know what this is like, right? We all have these kinds of experiences. Occasionally, I look in the mirror, and it's my dad. He's looking right back at me. Other times, I look in the mirror, and my mother's looking back at me. And that's the more scary one, when it's my mom looking at me. But, you know, that does happen sometimes. You ever have that? Or with your children. You know, occasionally you're talking to your children and all of a sudden, I have a 6-year-old grandson, I have 4 grandsons, and my 6-year-old grandson, Ryder, it's classic. If anybody's ever seen him, you know where I'm going with this. This kid looks like my twin. And I've had people see him and not see me and just look at him and say, that kid has got to belong to Brian somehow because he looks so much like me. And even my parents, they look at him and think, like, there you are. When you were 6 years old, this is exactly what you look like. So this is my grandson. So we've got those family similarities, right? Well, of course, that's what we're talking about, but on the spiritual level as well. Because we're the children of God, there are going to be similarities. Romans 8:29 says that God is working to conform us to the image of his Son. And you know what's happening over a process of time? You're becoming more like Jesus. And as time goes on, you're going to look more like Jesus. You're going to act more like Jesus. You're going to think more like Jesus. You're going to speak more like Jesus. You're going to behave more like Jesus. That's one of the implications of the relationship. The similarity is there. And then finally, because we're the children of God, we belong to one big family in the Lord. We've got the family relation aspect of it. And the way Paul put it in Ephesians 2:19, I love. He said, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're all part of this big universal family. Now, you know, every single family is dysfunctional on planet Earth. You know that, right? There's no normal families. There's no normal people. We know that. And some are more dysfunctional than others, obviously. But putting all of that aside, you know, there are certain things that families do, right? Families look out for each other. And even though we might be dysfunctional in a lot of ways, we still have those basic fundamental family type things like, hey, wait, that's my brother. Don't mess with my brother. Or, you know, that's my sister. No, don't say that about her. I love my sister. And so we've got that family thing. We all have one Father. And this is all of God's people spread all over the planet. We're all one big family. You know, it's amazing. I've had this experience so many times. Maybe you have too, where you meet somebody who's a believer and you know them for a very brief period of time, but you, for some reason, you just feel like, I've known this person my whole life. You bond with them. You connect with them. There's just something there. What is it? It's the family connection, right? It's that family relationship. And it's such a wonderful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. And as one big family, we love each other and we minister to each other. When Cheryl and I lived in London, we used to, we would get calls just randomly. You know, people coming through town, didn't know us at all, but they knew we were believers. They knew we were in the ministry. Hey, we're passing through London. We were wondering, could we come and stay at your house? Yeah, sure, come on. You know, who are you again? Oh, well, we, you know, there's some distant connection. But the classic one, I'll never forget this one. We got a call from Heathrow Airport one time, and it was a team of people that had been somewhere, done some ministry, came back through London, got delayed, and they needed a place to stay. There were like 15 people. And so, you know, hey, yeah, come on over. We'll make it work. So they came over to our house. You know, they slept, you know, all the floor and everywhere else. And, you know, Cheryl, my amazing wife, she made them burritos for dinner and pancakes for breakfast and sent them all off, you know, happily back to the airport to fly home. But I remember, you know, these people came marching into our house. It's like, well, praise the Lord. We never met before, but this is great. And come on in and... You know, we're part of the family. It's a family deal. So all of these things are implied in our relationship with God as our Father. These are the wonderful realities that belong to us who are the children of God. And as I close, this is the question. The question is for you personally, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Are you part of all of this that we're talking about? Because not everybody is. You see, we have to become children of God. We're not born into this world as God's children. The Bible says we're born into this world in sin and separated from God. But God has an open invitation extended to all people, inviting them to come into his family, to receive his Spirit, and to be adopted as his children. And so, again, are you a child of God? You might say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. How does that happen? Well, we already referred to it, but let me quote it to you again. John 1:12, as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We become the children of God by receiving Christ. Have you done that? You might say, well, yeah, I've done that. I said a prayer. I've asked the Lord into my life, but I don't know. I don't necessarily feel those things that you're talking about. Well, that's where the objective evidence comes in. You stand by faith on what God said, and then guess what? What do you start doing? You start acting like a child of God. Well, God said I'm his child. He said it right here in his word that if I did this, I would become his child. All right, so I'm going to believe that I'm his child, and I believe that his love is set upon me. And so that's it. The children of God, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Sons of God, and the resource number is BBT0005. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.